Masters Cox Plate winner at stud. First yearling sold for up to $210,000 and are in training with Darren Weir, Chris Waller, Hayes Dabernick, Chris Lees and other leading stables. Adelaide, standing at Coolmore at outstanding value.
The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Just $18.95 from newsagents Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
Menangle Winners, every Saturday morning from 10:30.
Yes, it's time for this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind, and Fred Hastings is with me. Fred, good morning.
G'day, Simon. How you doing?
Not too bad. I heard a little intro there say Menangle Winners. Well, Hazy was on the case last night. Freddie, tipping the first 70, nearly did what you've done in the past and pull off the card.
Yeah, well, he wasn't quite up to the task like I would. No, I'm just joking. No, look, it's a great effort. Seven straight winners. Look, I thought I was travelling good. I think I tipped the first four, and I thought, oh, I'm a chance here. And then Hazy messaged when the fifth race was running. He said, I tipped Aztec Bromac, and I'm on the three favourites at the back end of the night. And I said, well, mate, you're a big chance. Well, only Hazy could get a $1.60 favourite beat, and he was on Brad Nassel de Fuego in the last. It had the 1-1. All looked rosy. A 60-1 pop was in front, but the 60-1 pop kept going and denied Hazy the perfect score sheet. But,
yeah, it's hard to do, isn't it? Very hard to do.
It is. They've got to, and you know, I've seen some commentary on social media. Oh, it's easy to tip favourites. Well, for the record, they weren't all favourites, the seven winners. But even if they are favourites, they've still got to win.
And that's right,
You know, the last race. So look, well done to Hazy. His tips are out there in the public domain several days before, you know, the race meeting. So he does a good job. He puts a lot into it. And Hazy, I'm sure a perfect card for you is just around the corner.
Absolutely. Now, great night's action at Menangle. Did you get much of the storm activity?
Yeah, look, I arrived on track at 4:30. I got there nice and early because I knew the storm was coming and I wanted to sort of get up and settled and not get drowned. And as it turned out, it was a good move because it towed down at about 5 o'clock. And we, an amazing amount of rain in a short space, but that track is without doubt the best wet weather track in the country. It copped an absolute pounding and they were still coming out running quick times in the 2300 metre races. They were running 155 mile rates in the 2300 metre races. So, look, the track played really well. We saw some good performances on the track, Simon. Rackaroller, I thought, was brilliant in race two. It was three deep for the first 600 metres and then it parked. It was the first of a treble for Todd McCarthy. Historically, it looked as though it might have raced best at the mile, but last night it went 155 3-mile rate, and that was a tenth quicker than Tiger Tara went in a later race in the Kevin Newman Cup at Group 3. We all know how good Tiger Tara is. So that was a big effort, Rackaroller, and one I suggest you keep an eye on. Ideal Pleasure, a mare. She won for Lockie Manselman and Team Tritton. Terrific effort. It was a real clever drive by Lockie. He had Power Surge locked up on his back and She's All Apples kept plugging away. And Ideal Pleasure, she was too good. She's off to the paddock now. But yeah, just on the drive, I thought it was a real good one by Lockie Manselman. He resisted the urge to set her alight at the quarter pole because that would have let the main danger Power Surge out. He bided his time and it was a good drive. And just on Team Tritton, they're going to have a massive hand at next Sunday's Menangle card. They'll have Franco Nelson, Gotta Go Yahoo, and possibly Alpha Rock, My Alpha Rock going around. They're going to have horses like Angel in White going around. They've got about 20 horses earmarked for next Sunday, so a lot of their big guns are coming back. Just quickly, Aztec Bromac was back in the winner's stall first up. A 99-star veteran made it win number 17. Did run fourth in a Bohemia Crystal, so it's been a very handy horse for connections. And probably the story of the night, I touched on the last race, Syme, where Hazy needed Brad Nassel de Fuego. Well, Sir Lefeu won the race. Todd McCarthy, you rarely see Toddy driving a 60-1 pop, but he drove that for Greg Brown, and that was Greg's first Menangle win. Sir Lefeu's had 11 wins and 23 minus from 82 starts, and it'd be a bit of a tonic. I believe the owner isn't in the best of health, but that would have been a bit of a tonic. So well done to Greg Brown and Todd McCarthy. The feature race was the Group 3 Kevin Newman Cup, and Tiger Tara and Major Dan backing up from last week's Victoria Cup.
It's Tiger Tara, the leader, getting closer. Our triple play at the leader's wheel. Third under lock and key is Major Dan, needing it out. Next match in heaven, followed by Joe Star of Mia. Village Witch, she's only about four off the top. And then came Italian Delight, who's last. Just ahead of it is Outrageous L. And on its outside, as they near the turn, Celestia Laden. They run towards the quarter pole. 400 left to go, and he's about to get busy here on Tiger Tara. 26-9 the split, and Tiger Tara straightens up a length and a half on Major Dan into clear space, trying to wear down Tiger Tara. Right down the outside, Village Witch and Match in Heaven are trying to close, but it's Tiger Tara, 150 metres left to go, dashes away. Here's one finishing brilliantly out wide, Joe Star of Mia, but it's Tiger Tara in front, close to home, and Tiger Tara does it again. Tiger Tara beats Joe Star of Mia. Wow, did you see Outrageous L at any old odds zoom home on the inside to grab third, and Italian Delight was a big run in four.
So Tiger Tara winning there, Fred Hastings, and now $4.50 for the Interdom.
Yeah, look, that's only 5 weeks away, the Interdom. Of course, before that, I noticed a late-night tweet from Adam Hamilton once I got home from the track, indicating there's a possibility that Tiger Tara might head to Cranbourne for the Cranbourne Cup next week and then off to New Zealand for the New Zealand Trotting Cup before coming back and taking on the Inter Dominion. We know he's a traveller. We know he's done it before. He's been, back and forwards across the Nullarbor to take on the Inter Dominions. He's been across the Tasman to take on New Zealand Cups, placed in the last two. There's no Lazarus this year, and that will be key to I think, Tiger Tara's prospects. So, that's where he's headed. Big runs, Joe Star of Mia, looking to get up the pecking order for the Interdom. Outrageous L, he ran out of his skin, zoomed home, and it was a bit of an eye-catcher in the race, having its first Aussie start. I thought Italian Delight, it was well back in proceedings, followed the shortest way home on the pegs, and got past a lot of them out wide. That just didn't really run on. They loomed, horses like Match in Heaven, Village Witch, Major Dan, they all sort of got to the outside, but they just didn't quite come on. So whether by that stage the outside had just turned a little bit with the traffic, but certainly Joe Star of Mia, Outrageous Cell and Italian Delight, all good runs behind Tiger Tara. Major Dan ran fifth, and Village Witch, she ran another good race from last and ran sixth, only beaten just under four lengths. So that was the feature race. We were pretty lucky last night, Simon. I think we got to see New South Wales' best pacer go around in Tiger Tara, and we got to see New South Wales' best square trotter go around in the shape of Tough Monarch, and Tough Monarch's trainer driver Rick Alton joins us on Pacing Rewind. Good morning, Rick.
How are you, Freddie?
Good. You would have been absolutely delighted with Tough Monarch's performance. Historically, he's had a few little issues at times at the night meetings at Menangle. Well, generally, trials good, but just once or twice he's made an error virtually at the same point, about the 700. Do you sort of hold your breath when you get to that point in a race, or has he got over those head issues?
Oh, it's always in the back of your mind, Freddie, but mm-hmm. I think he's over him now. He seems really, really well, and I still don't really know what went on those two times he did that.
Mm.
I try not to think too much into it now, but it's still definitely there in the back of your mind.
He's won 14 from 35. You've had him from the get-go, and I thought last night it was a real tradesman-like performance. He did a little bit of work from the wide barrier, got across to park, sat outside Romper's Monarchy. I thought she raced out of her skin last night for Joe and Mary Rando, and in the end, your boy was able to grind out the win. She certainly gave him a bit of a fight up the stretch, but I just thought it was a real tradesman-like tough performance, which I guess at this age you expect to see in some of these seasoned trotters.
Yeah, that's right. Romper's Monarchy, she was very brave. She went really good. My guy, I was sort of out to prove a bit of a point last night. I know the horse is going really good. Race probably wasn't run to suit at Melton last week. And I think he's going as good as he's ever gone. And, my main aim last night was to get the ODM off him so we're getting into the Inner Dominion, not out of the draw, because it's hard to give those better trotters a start. Once he trotted away, I was always, quite happy to let him bowl along.
And that seems to be how he races best. I noticed, and this will suit him, that the Inter Dominion's coming up. You're ranked 12th at the moment, and the next rankings come out the 31st. So no doubt, with that performance last night, he's going to edge up the rankings, you'd think. He's won his 11 wins of the 14 career wins, 11 of them being from the mobile. So that must give you some confidence, knowing that the series in Melton is from the mobile.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the more distance, the first heat is 1,700 metres, then the second heat goes up to 2,500, and then the final, if we're lucky enough to make it, 2,700. Like, that there will be right up his alley, as he's, you know, he's shown on numerous occasions that over distance he is quite versatile as long as the races are run true. If their speed's on, he can sit off them, and, you know, he can sustain his speed for a long time, and that's, you know, that's what probably gives him the edge on some trotters, that he can sustain that tempo.
And as he's got older, that's certainly been the case. We've seen him become a little dour, and he doesn't mind a fight either, Rick. He sort of knuckles down and puts the head down. And you're right, I watched the Melton run on replay. I watched it live and then watched it on replay twice during the week when I was working out the form for last night. And his run, it wasn't a bad performance at Melton. Your thoughts on that run and the track, how does he copes well with Melton?
Oh, look, he trots better at Melton. And you'll probably notice last night he trotted, like, really good here. And Menangle track is now to have a bit of renowned to have a bit of steer in it. At times it can be a bit hard underneath. Every time I've taken this horse to Melton, he's trotted really, really good. Last night, with the track being a bit soft because of the rain, the sting wasn't in it. And he's just a different horse when there's no jar in the track. And, you know, I'd love to have a soft track
come
you know,
finals
all
time.
The time
yeah.
with him, because I think it could take him to the next level, you know, being able to train him and that on a track that doesn't have jar in it.
What about the six? It's just probably under 6 weeks now to the series commencement on December 1. What do you do with him now? You've got a bit of time. Where will he go now? What do you do with him now?
Look, the horse races very well fresh. I'd like to be going into the Inter Dominion, you know, obviously at peak fitness, but, you know, still very fresh. So I'm going to enter him for the 3,000-metre race here at Menangle next week. It's a $30,000 stand. We'll enter him, we'll see what handicap he gets, and then make up our mind what we do with him from there. But he definitely won't race from a mobile in New South Wales again, heading into the Inter Dominion. Now that the ODM's off him, we'll just, you know, not risk that. But, you know, I know the horse has got the ability to match it with the best trotters in that series. So, you know, we just got to hope for a bit of luck and no bad luck, and I'm sure he'll give him some of the catch.
I know there's a few heavy hitters in the ownership of Tough Monarch, and this is a horse, as I said at the top, you've had this bloke from the get-go, so you know him, you know, inside out, but some heavy hitters, as I said, that were all in the ownership amongst some of the other horses they've owned, including Smoking Up.
Yeah, that's a syndicate that's been around for a long time, and I was fortunate or lucky enough to be in the right spot at the right time with this horse. I think, you know, most people know the story with him. He was sent to me pretty late because he was a horse that was unbroken virtually. They said this horse, you know, can't be broken in. So Dennis Wilson actually asked me to take him, and we did. We got him broken in. He went back to Dennis a couple of times, and Dennis was having a bit of trouble with him. And I always said to Dennis, if you can't get that horse going, can I please have a crack at him? Because I just knew he had something there, and, you know, it's quite satisfying now that he's cracked $100,000 last night. He has won 14 races, because that's, you know, for me, that's been an achievement for myself, just knowing how hard he was to get going to where he is at now. And, you know, Greg, Freddie, I honestly don't think you'll see the best of him till next season, after he can have, you know, a good 10 weeks off. When that'll be, I'm not sure, but, and then come back and, you know, have a faultless preparation, and, you know, he's still got a good couple of seasons left in him.
100%. And that's the thing. I guess most in the industry know you and the renown you have as a breaker and educator. For those that are listening today that weren't aware of that, you do a lot of work with horses, particularly young ones, getting them ready for the races and pre-training and breaking. It's a big part of your business. How many horses do you actually train to race versus how many horses do you generally work on the education and breaking side?
Oh, it just varies throughout the year, really, Fred. I mean, it's probably in the last two seasons it's changed a little bit. I mean, we've got a few more race horses, but, you know, we break in over 100 most years, which it's a lot of work. We're not involved in that. But yeah, we are fortunate enough at the moment to have a few better quality horses, which, you know, put you on the board, and you know, from little things, big things grow, I suppose. That
sure.
when you're winning races, people take note, and you know, you do end up getting more horses around you. So no, we've got a pretty good, you know, business plan, and we've got a plan looking forward. So no, everything's going well.
Good on you, Rick. Well, good luck with the Inter Dominion. Well done with Tough Monarch last night, and we'll catch up, no doubt, at the track soon.
Thanks, Freddie.
There you go, Simon. Rick Altron, very astute man with a horse, and he's got a good one there in Tough Monarch. So that's it. I don't want to take up or go over time because, obviously, a lot to reflect on that massive night at Weddy Park last night. But just before I go, Simon, absolutely delighted to see my good mate Peter and Jody Lagogiani win the big one. Known them for a long time. It was Pete's dream to have a greyhound property when he was a painter by trade. He dreamed of having a nice big property when he was only training about four or five dogs. And, well, in the last, you know, 12 years or so, look what he's done. He's won the first $1 million race. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the chasing segment of Pacing and Chasing Rewind.
Yeah, we're going to have a chat with Peter Lagogiani in just a moment, Fred. So make your cup of tea and put the feet up and enjoy the interview.
I'm going to. Good on you, Simon.
There he is, Fred Hastings. It's 14 to 11. I'll take a quick break. And then Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales will reflect on a big night from Wentworth Park.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
You've won two Everest. Karen McAvoy joins us on the line.
Morning, boys.
You've ridden in all big events around the world. Where does winning an Everest rate for you personally?
It's right up there at the top, that's for sure. You know, obviously the price tag is what catches everyone's attention and just the quality of the field. And, you know, it is an amazing race. It's a crash bang wallop type of race compared to the Melbourne Cups and whatnot that I've been lucky enough to win. And honoured to have been able to win the first two and team up with the Snow. They've obviously done a great job with this horse. And who knows, he might be back for a third one next year.
The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world.
But Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Well, last night at Wentworth Park, we had the inaugural running of the Million Dollar Chase. And from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Michael Cowley joins me now. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, it was an absolutely wonderful night out there. The weather tried to do its best to deter people, but it didn't succeed.
No, well, it delayed the opening ceremony for the Invictus Games, so it managed to disrupt Harry and Megan, or Megan to some extent, but not so our greyhound world.
We did end up having to put our first race back about 40 minutes or so because of the rain. It was a bit of a thunderstorm, a bit of lightning, so it was a little bit dangerous. But as we said, the track staff, the GRNSW track staff, did a fantastic job of getting the track all sorted and all ready. And we kicked off a couple of races late, but that didn't, as I said, didn't deter the crowd. They poured in their numbers, and it was a fantastic night. A lot of people that have been going to Wentworth Park a lot longer than me have said it's the biggest crowd they've seen there in decades.
It would have been, yeah. Did you get an official attendance?
We haven't got the official number yet, but I believe it was over 4,000. And look, our hopes were for 3,500 to 4,000. And look, all things considered, considering the weather, and a fantastic, fantastic turnout. It really was, Simon.
Righto, Mick. Well, we've got Peter Lagogiani on the line. We'll have a chat to Pete in just a moment. But first of all, let's take in a replay of the feature race, the Million Dollar Chase Final.
Well done, Mystic Right came out running. She's charging to the lead, led by Three Skyway working to second. Jamila Jet out wide. They were followed up by Midnight Starlet, Poke the Bear, followed by Azkaban, Big Butters, Dinah Harper at the tail of the field. Top corner, Mystic Right by three. Jamila Jet going out after her. Five away, two Skyway. They corner the leader, Mystic Right. Jamila Jet cutting it down. Mystic Right digging in. A dream, now a reality. Mystic Right, brilliant. Pete Jamila Jet, Skywave. They were followed in by Dinah Harper, Poke the Bear. Big Butters followed up by...
Yeah, the battle's called there of the big one last night with Mystic Right defeating Jamila Jet and Skywave. And we have Peter Lagogiani on the line now. Mick, Pete, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, guys, and thank you very much. That just gave me a shiver right through my body, that call, so...
Peter, it was an interesting one. You said to me last night you didn't actually realise who was in front going up the back. You had to ask someone.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. I lost view of her, and there was people standing in front of me, and I said, "Who's in front, guys?" And then they said, "Turn around," and said, "You are," you know, and wow, a shiver went through my body there and then too. So, and then I saw the 8 coming behind us, so I thought, "Oh, we'll run a good second."
Hey, what were the celebrations like last night, Pete, when you got home?
Mate, I'm pretty quiet, actually. I just wanted to get her home and get the other two home. We had two other dogs in too, and just get them home, settle them in. And look, it was all about her last night. You know, now that she's a million-dollar dog, a little bit of extra attention came to her last night. I just came home, and the celebrations went on with the owners. I think they all went out and had a great night with a few of the crowd. And look, Jodie and I just came home, and we had a couple of quiet drinks, and you know, come to terms with what happened last night. You know,
and Pete, you got something in common with the Snowdons now. I mean, to win the inaugural running of such a big event, that just makes it extra special, doesn't it?
Mate, it does, and the credit goes out to the new mob running our show, and you know, Mr. Mestrov, Ms. O'Toole, Mr. Yemmer, you know, G Week, the new mob has come on board. Look, fantastic concept. You know, they might have put a few noses out of joint, you know, around the states, but you know, look, Melbourne's still the premier state for racing, for greyhound racing, but look, we're doing our best here in New South Wales to bring it back up to the level it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So let's hope, hey, let's hope this race can do it for us.
Pete, I guess it's amazing. You know, she was struggling to get a start in a fifth grade race, you know, only 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
She was, mate. Yeah, look, we knew she had a motor, you know. She's come from Victoria, this bitch, you know, New South Wales bred. Her trial times told me she had a motor too. So, you know, just throwing at Wenny, and then we said, look, if she wins, we'll throw her in the heats, you know. And she was a second reserve, gained a start, and mate, the fairy tale from there on. It's not only a dream come true; it's everything. This is a story. This is a book.
So you mentioned before, Pete, that you saw the 8 coming. Was that the one that you're worried about the most going into the race?
Yeah, Jamella Jett, look, and good on the Crouchies. They've done a wonderful job with their little team, and they're from a racing family, a harness racing family. And I went down to the gala event on Friday with Adam. We drove in together, and he was telling me some of the trial times that Jamella Jett has run, you know. And and I just looked at him and said, "Oh well, mate, I'm in trouble if you're sitting on my ass." And and when I saw the 8 coming, I said, "Oh Jesus, that's the only dog I didn't want, you know, chasing me." But our bitch just dug in deep, and then showed what she can do.
So you were you used to be a house painter. You gave it away because you wanted to be a greyhound trainer. Does this validate that decision? And what does this actually mean for you and Jodie as trainers?
Mate, it validates the decision. Of course it does. You know, I actually had a few mates that were painters with me come last night, and they travelled many, many kilometres to be there last night, and then they gave me the nod of approval. So it meant something to me, you know, making that decision 10 years ago. Look, and for myself and Jodie and my family, I've got a young family, two young lads, and mate, it just means the world to us. It gives us hope. It gives us, you know, it just promotes the Australian dream, doesn't it? You know, we can go out and get, you know, a home for ourselves and all of the above, mate, and me continue on being a greyhound trainer, doing something that I dearly love.
Mate, you said your dad came out here from Greece about 55 years ago. And
Yeah, mate, he did. And, yeah, met Mum here, and they started a family. I was born and bred in Redfern. You know, downtown Redfern. I don't know if anybody remembers that little city, you know. So, you know, these days, we've been born and bred Australians and love this country. You know, I spent some time overseas, and, mate, every time I heard that national anthem on TV or anywhere, you know, it put a shiver down the back of our spines. And both JD and I looked at each other and said, you know, we want to go home one day. We don't want to stay here. So, and things happen and we're back here now. So, loving every minute of it.
It was a good night to have it on last night with the Invictus Games opening ceremony as well. You probably got a few of the fireworks in the background there, did you?
Oh, we certainly, mate. They weren't fireworks, they were bombs getting set off. Yeah, look, but, you know, good on, you know. Look, it was a fantastic crowd last night, you know. done greyhound racing proud in New South Wales. It really was. I think the rain kept a few, I'd say a few thousand away, you know, but... mate, just to see a crowd like that in the stands and the roar when the lids opened, you didn't hear the roar, you felt the roar behind the boxes. So, mate, that was immense. That was you know, mate, just so glad and so happy to be a part of that. It's just, you know, life changing and I'll tell you something, you'll never forget. I'll never forget that moment ever. The best moment of my life was having my two boys, but I'll tell you something, this comes pretty close.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. Peter, am I right in thinking that the part of the conditions of winning the $1 million chase is that Mystic Wright will eventually become a rehomed greyhound or, in fact, become a companion of the owners?
Of course it will. Of course you will. Mm. Look, most of our dogs, look, most owners these days are... Look, we rehome them or we take them home and you know, have them as pets at home. So, you know, I actually had this rehomed dog with his owner, you know, only a few weeks ago. So, look, it's fantastic, this GAP program. It's great, you know. It gives the dogs a chance outside racing to be a pet and enjoy that sort of lifestyle too, you know. It's a retirement thing. It's great, you know. Of course, look, I think 95% of dogs, you know, as long as they can be rehomed, are rehomed these days. So, this is a great thing. This is, you know, an opportunity to show the world that, you know, we are caring people. It's not just, you know, just it's not all just about racing. You know, these guys are pets too.
Pete, have you thought yet about where's the next for Mystic Wright?
Mate, no, to be honest with you, no. We didn't think we'd be in this position that we're in today. You hope, you know, you can win a race like this and you dream about winning a race like this. And when it becomes reality, I think it might take a couple of days to sink in, Tim. But look, you know, maybe the Melbourne Cup, we just don't know, you know, but I think we're seated in there now and, you know, we'll see. We're not sure. I hate mapping out programs because, you know, when they don't come to fruition, you get a little bit disappointed. But we'll wait and see what happens.
Perfect. Pete, thanks for joining us today. Enjoy living in the spoils and soaking it all up. It's been a fantastic carnival, and congratulations on wrapping it up perfect fashion last night.
Thank you very much, guys. Mate, just to everybody involved, what a great night. Thank you, and you've put on a show and a spectacle, and it just shows the world what we can really do here in Australia for greyhound racing.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for giving us some of your time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Cheers. Thank you very much.
There he is, Peter Lagogiani. And just with a few minutes up our sleeve, Mick, running through a few of the other results. The Sydney Cup going to the favourite Poco Dorado, who we touched on last week.
Absolutely, yeah. It was Cornella for John Finn's kennel and Cornella for Lydia Sisters. Yeah, Poco Dorado and Veloce Nero finished 1-2. It actually looked like Veloce Nero would grab Poco Dorado on the turn, but Poco kicked and... Favourite backers were smiling, and that was a 75,000 to the winner Group 3 event for John Finn and Poco Dorado, so that was a good result. We also obviously had the Young Star Final, which is for up-and-coming greyhounds, and that was taken out by Federal Lily. She was originally trained by Robbie Britton in Victoria, and Rob sent her back to her owner, Morgan Fenwick Benjes, to prepare for the series, and Morgan put the polish on her for 2 starts, 2 wins at Wentworth Park, including last night's final. So that was a good result for Federal Lily. She'll go back to Robbie Britton now and have a crack at the Melbourne Cup heats.
He's my brother-in-law, you know that?
Oh, there you go.
Morgan. He's doing really well. He's really making a bit of a name for himself now. To see him win the Young Star final last night, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Mate, absolutely. And mate, perfect record as a trainer with Federal Lily. 2 starts, 2 wins, both in the city, and a feature race to boot.
Okay, so that was Federal Lily winning the Young Star final. And the consolation, Mick, went to the reserve that got the jump from box 5.
Yeah, true talent. At Benali, the Victorian dog who was fastest qualifier through the heats at Wentworth Park, unfortunately was scratched, and as a result of that, true talent got a start and jumped to the lead and just refused to be caught. And yeah, that's as the name says, it's a consolation for connections of true talent. Again, a wonderful series for the $1 million chase wrapping up. But of course, you know, the other feature of the night was the Masters Media off for Masters Greyhounds, and that was a fantastic result for Evelyn Harris from up Grafton Way. Cosmic Bonus, again, leading all the way from the red, actually clocked.